I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Adrian DeWalk, Paul Reitlinger, and Charlie Varney. Coming up on TMS, 6 ounces of bone.
Van playing the field for presents.
Stack everyone in Texas.
Rip Torn, son of Tiger Torn.
One sitting, one shitting.
I don't like vegan speed.
Cranky pants.
Not my princess.
Thank you very much, TYVM.
Wall of Wines.
You'll get no x-ray specs, no fart gas, and no Lieutenant Yar.
Let's go ride the Ow My Bunga.
Kim watches porn in the library.
Bandolier delivery method.
F Dr. Drew with Red Fraggle and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
So it is best to consult many sources of information before we form our own conclusions.
I'd say there's no question we should build a new junior high school.
Oh, just a minute. I'm not sure about that. Not sure at all.
I think Vienna wieners are totally reesty.
The Morning Stream. When news breaks, we're there. The next morning. Except on Fridays and the weekend.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Morning Stream. This is TMS for Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, man.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, I'm in such a better mood today than I was yesterday. Yesterday was real dumb
for a whole bunch of reasons. Were you cranky pants yesterday?
No, I was, a little bit. I didn't let it show on the show, but I was kind of cranky, and I had a really important meeting, which meant I was also nervous. And so the whole morning could have gone south. It all went fine, but today I'm just feeling... airy. I feel a little airy today.
Oh, wow. Nice. Like no, lighter than air. Not gassy, but lighter than air.
Yeah, not gassy. I was a little gassy yesterday, funny enough, but...
Maybe that contributed to it, too.
Yeah, no, I'm doing much better, and that makes me happy because, you know, what's better to do when you're in a good mood than a morning show? You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
It's a good time.
For sure.
Yeah. We're going to dive right in. We got a lot coming up. Amy will be here later with a book recommendation. I started a new book that I'll throw out there. Let people know about if you're in a Halloween mood in particular. Oh, also, if anyone out there, including JF, if he still listens to the show, I don't know. But if JF DeBoe is contactable, his book got one of his books got a big shout out and from a source that I really like for book recommendations. And I wanted to let him know that he got, you know, talked to, that his book got talked about in a very positive way, but I cannot get a hold of the dude. He's not showing up on Facebook. I don't know where to find him.
I was going to say Facebook is usually where I hear from him. So I'm kind of surprised you're not able to track him down.
I know. Maybe he blocked me or something. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what happened.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. I hope not. But if you're out there, JF Dubois, send me a message and I'll tell you what it was. I saved a screen grab of this thing and a link and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, so that's all coming up. Plenty to do today. Let's start things off with a recommendation.
Cool.
So many times, Brian's a bit of a, you know, he knows all the cool spots in Denver, right?
You'll know
a place, and then you'll come on the show and you'll say, oh, we found this new place, and add it to the list of cool things to do when you're in the city and that sort of stuff. Well, I ran into one of those yesterday, and I wanted to make a recommendation. So we had all of the sibling couples that are in town sort of here on vigil for Kim's sister. We decided, hey, none of us have done anything fun with each other since you've all been here. So why don't we go to dinner? Let's go to dinner, everybody. Let's an angel rest and get out of their hair, and let's all just go somewhere. So we went to this place my daughter recommended that she goes to. I didn't even know. This is how much I pay attention. I guess her and Dylan do this place every year for their anniversary because they love it. They just love it.
Special event kind of place.
Yeah, she just loves this place. And I'd never heard of it, and I kind of would forget about it. And Kim and I never went on our own. So we went there yesterday. It's this place called the Cliff Dining Pub, and it's in Draper. Not far from where I live. It took us maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to get up there. And it is this amazing... Oh, I still have the feud overlay. Get rid of that. This amazing menu. Really, really good food. Prices are okay and not horrible. I'm always chicken to try new stuff. Like fancy stuff, so I just tried their burger, which they're kind of famous for. Okay. And it was really good. It was a great burger.
Was it the one with the egg dripping down the sides in the photo?
Indeed it was. Yeah, and it was real good. Kim had the short ribs. They were fantastic. I ate some of that because she had it there.
You get sushi? Look at that.
Yeah, they got a whole crazy lineup. And this amazing location, the place inside has a really great atmosphere. They have these, we couldn't do it because it was cold, but in the spring and warmer weather, their outdoor stuff overlooks the entire valley. It's just freaking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a shot of that right there with the deck. Anyway, can't recommend it enough. Just wanted to throw it out there. Got a new one to put on the list. It's called the Cliff Dining Pub.
The Clip Clop?
The Clip Clop, in the Clip Clop.
Clip clop.
They got a whole, I'm not a drinker, but they got all the stuff you want, the cocktails and the beer selections and all that crap.
Sure.
But
a big old bar and a nice little wine selection, judging by that, the wall of wines.
Yeah.
It looks like
they had a winery.
Took me
wall.
A second to figure out what I'm looking at there with that photo.
The one down.
Let me open that photo in a new. Let's see. Open in a new tab here. I got to see this photo because I can't figure out what I'm looking at here.
At the bottom. Is that the one?
Yeah. Okay. So interesting. So it's the colors, the panels behind the bottles of wine were throwing me off. So they've got the bottles of wine kind of like almost in a what looked like a bandolier kind of delivery method.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But if you open up that thing just in its own tab, open up that photo, it pulls it in full size and you can see. So it's colored panels behind the wines because it's really weird. It looked like... I couldn't tell what I was looking at.
Maybe it is still cool. Maybe it's still pull out drawer type arrangement. I don't know. I can't tell. But these giant door I saw this while we were there. These giant doors shut at night when they're done.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very good, and the service was amazing. And I was surprised. It wasn't. I wouldn't say it was inexpensive. It was like I think Kim's.
I mean,
thing
you're paying
was,
$35 for a prime rib. That's good.
Yeah.
It's It reminds me of there's a Landry's place out here. It used to be called Sims Landing. I think it's now called Sims Steakhouse.
Mm.
And it sits on the Green Mountain, or at least the place south of Green Mountain that basically over or north of Green Mountain that overlooks the city. So you get a window seat in the place and you're looking over the entirety of downtown of Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown and the Front Range and it's a gorgeous place.
Is this the one in Sims. Golden, looks like? Yeah, here it is.
It is. There's only one. Yeah, Sims Steakhouse.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's nice. Oh, yeah. They have a similar wine wall.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, let me see the...
Yeah, it's a little less broken up by the color stuff, which I can't quite tell what that is.
Oh, funny.
You can see the sideways. Like, they feel like they pull out maybe, like, big old...
Maybe, yeah.
Big old rack of wine. Oh man, this place looks awesome too. Jeez,
it's also really nice. Oh yeah, oh that one's behind glass. Their wall of wine. I'm seeing the photo you're looking at here.
Yeah, this place looks great.
They're great, and another incredible view. And it's all part of the Landry's.
And their prices are pretty good too.
Yeah, similar kind of thing. They do. I don't know if they still do it. They do still do it. An incredible Sunday brunch, like.
Hmm.
This thing is known far and wide. It's $45 per person. It's not cheap. $37 if you're a senior, $20 if you're a kid.
Yeah.
But seafood and all your basic brunch stuff. But then they've got like a dude who's making omelets for you. Pancakes, waffles, carved prime rib, all that stuff. That's like a That's like a little special event kind of, hey, let's do Sunday brunch kind of thing.
Sounds like a fancy getaway.
It is a fancy getaway.
Here's a question for you. They have a ribeye and a bone-in ribeye. I've had both at various places, but the difference in price is $20 or more than that. $29 to $28 difference between the ribeye.
What are the weights on them?
That must be it. 16 ounce versus 22. That's why it's more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, am I paying more for that frickin' bone? Like, what's the point?
Hope not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it depends. I mean, if it's 16 ounce, if it's 6 ounces of bone.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Also,
but again, that meat right around the bone is always a little bit more flavorful. No, I don't know what it is.
I love the meat around the bone.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. The bone-in strip.
By the way, I'm sure 6 ounces of bone will definitely be one of the show titles today. I'm sure it will.
6 ounces
predicting
of bone?
It now.
Do it.
Yeah.
Get in there. Make it happen, you guys.
6 ounces of bone.
No problem with that. All right. Yesterday, Brian reminded me of a thing that I wanted to talk about. Today, we talked about it.
Cool. Let's talk about it. Because I've been curious about you got super excited about wanting to talk about this thing yesterday when I mentioned it.
Right. Yeah. Now, people are used to, and I think maybe you got one is why it came up. I can't remember why it came up. Remind me why it came up. What happened?
Yeah, because I got the stupid Amazon toy catalog.
Yeah.
The most useless waste of paper when you're known for being an online store and that you can go and look for anything you want online, having a printed thing that you catalog that you send out that basically just goes flip, 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 flip. Yep. That's all the stuff I know that you have online. Yep. Recycle bin.
Yep. Immediately, almost, right?
Yes.
Very rarely is that thing going to sit around very long. Well, here's the insidious thing that Amazon is doing right now. And full disclosure, I like Amazon. I use it a lot.
Yeah.
I pay for Prime. It's fine. Okay.
I probably get, you know, at least one or two things a week from Amazon with a smile on the box.
Yeah. Same here. Sometimes it's upside down, though, and I don't know why. Makes me nervous.
Because you're opening the box upside down.
Yeah, that would explain it. but anyway, so those things that come for the adults to peruse, fine, throw it in the bin. No big deal.
Yeah.
They're now sending out, and I don't know if I've been doing this for a long time, so correct me, someone out there who maybe got these before, but this year anyway, we got, and so did Taylor, we got a little kids one.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the one we received.
This is for children. Like,
yeah, with stickers in it.
Oh shit, that's the one you got? Okay.
Yeah, that's the one we got.
Let me tell you what happened, because this is where it's insidious. You and I see that and we go, meh, throw it away.
Yeah.
Van got a hand on it.
Yeah.
Went into the living room.
With a ballpoint pen, with a Sharpie.
He did. He had a crayon, actually. It's funny you say that. He had a crayon.
Yeah.
A red crayon. Sat on the couch. And then proceeded to go, Nana, come here. And then Nana would come in. Kim would sit next to him and he'd say, I want this and this and this. And he would show her. And then she'd leave. Mom, come here. She came in there. He's four. She sits down and he would point out all the things to her that were in addition to what he already showed to Kim about things he thought were cool and that he wanted for this Christmas. He proceeded to do this with everybody in the house. And at one point, I was talking to somebody so loud I couldn't hear him calling me. He comes out, grabs me by the hand, pops, come here, come here, come here. Takes me in the living room, sits me down. And has me look at this thing on his lap. Amazon knows how kids are going to be when they get this freaking thing. And he just sat there and planned out his entire holiday plan. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, it, you know, 100%, it's not for us, Scott. It is for them. And it's basically a pick one from column A, two from column B, one from column C.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Amazon clearly doesn't know that our son is 26 and doesn't live with us anymore. That we don't have grandchildren or small nieces or nephews that come over.
Yeah, I'm kind of wasted on you guys. But I think it's, you know, I say insidious, but it's smart if you're trying to, you know, because kids, they don't know the corpo nightmare structure all this is. They just know that a real big, cool, flashy thing is on that page, and that's something they want, and there's a neat little book that shows you all the things you want. Those dollar signs don't mean anything to them. They don't know.
Oh, and I think a lot of those things, if I remember correctly, when I was perusing the toy catalog, looking for everything Spider-Man, I don't remember actually seeing dollar signs. I think
they not have prices?
I don't think they had prices. I
That's even worse.
Even worse. Like, it is, it's like the Jillians or the Dave and Busters of toy catalogs, because, ooh, want that, want that, want that, and you're never, ever seeing a price.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. Anyway, it just cracked me up because he was just like, this is the greatest piece of bound paper, collection of paper I've ever had in my lap ever. And most years, he doesn't, this is the first year he's given a crap about Christmas. Last 3 years, he's too little, doesn't understand why everyone's making a big deal out of it. Kind of gets handed something, opens it, smiles, and then pushes it to the side. Doesn't really get it. This year, though, four-year-olds, they start, it sinks in. It's like, it's the jackpot.
And you know, they've been saying this in the chat, and I totally did this as a kid, too. Like, the Sears catalog would arrive. I'd go to that back third, that back quarter, whatever it was, that was all toys, and I'd sit there on the floor in the living room and basically do exactly the same thing, where I'd be like, oh, yeah, want that, want that, want that.
Yeah, that's true. I used to, I even did this with comic books. I would jump to that page that had all the stupid gizmos on it. Before I would read the comic.
Oh, the really? The
like I'd still read the comic. I'd still read it, right? But I would jump to the end and go, all right, let's see. Fake barf, fake poop.
You jump to the page that has the x-ray specs and the fart gas and the whoopee cushion and all
that stuff. I was like, I got to see what they got now. Is it all? And it was usually the same. It never changed. But I just thought, well, maybe there'd be something cool in here I could get that I can't get at the keyhole or whatever store I was going to.
Right.
And then I would go back and read the comic and enjoy the comic for what it was for. But I think there's an age you hit where you kind of have us, right? And Amazon knows that. Of course they know that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they know? Walmart knows that. Sears knew that. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, they know it. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. It's a very old school brick and mortar method, but I guess I just wasn't in a position to see Amazon do it. When my kids were his age, you know, and Taylor was four, that would have been, what, 98? I think Amazon was just barely selling books in 98.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my coworker, a guy named Scott Brenner, who actually worked for me in the support department for a while. And he was all proud that he got this like thermal mug from Amazon, the bookstore, because he, you know, in their first year, he'd bought a bunch of books. And they said, hey, we want to thank you. Here's a thermal mug.
Oh, wow. I wonder if you still, I would hang on to that forever. I would keep that forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, cause I think it probably said Amazon bookstore or something like that.
Yeah.
And that guy's a judge now, by the way. He's a Your Honor.
Oh my gosh. For real? Wow.
Yeah. For real.
So that's a fast career from
being a support guy working for me to being a judge. Yeah, yeah. I like to think that I got him on his way, but I had nothing to do with it.
Here's what you hope. Next time you get jury duty, you hope it's him, because then he has to recuse you. You can't be there. You know each
right.
other.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Can't know the judge. Can't make that work. You know what? Our justice system wouldn't work in smaller. Like, the way we look at the world right now, it's 8 billion people or whatever it is now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what if it was only 8,000 people total? Imagine a planet where Earthlings only make up 8,000 humans.
Thanos is right.
And then that means it's only going to be, America is like 300 people. So right. You would know, everybody would know everybody.
Things down. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work.
No, because it's all this big space. Like, you'd only know the eight people who live around you, you know, your giant tracts of land, the quarter of the state you live in that you now own.
Yeah, you're right. It's exactly right. I also heard a stat yesterday that I still don't quite believe, but maybe it's true, that if you took every single person in the, what was the phrase? Was it in the world? Crap. I don't know if it was all 8 billion people or not, but there would be enough room if you organized it right. I mean, it'd be pure nightmare, but if you organized it right, there's enough room in the state of Texas alone to fit everybody. So you could put
everybody in the world?
Everybody. I think it was world, but now that I say it, that's a lot. 8 billion's a lot, and I don't know. I thought he said world, but I can't remember now. But there's some weird stat where if you just look at, you know, it may be even like, you know, a jail cell sized living quarters. It may be something as small as that.
Right.
But there was a way to cram everybody into one, just right into Texas. right in the middle there. Possible? I don't know. Someone out there knows this and write in and tell us. Because I'm sure
Merrick says, sounds possible. Just stack them.
Yeah, stack them. Yeah, stack them up. Do like they do in Hong Kong or whatever you got going.
That's right. Just put them on top, one right on top of the other. You can totally do it.
I thought the world's the most expensive place to live was going to be either the U.S. or somewhere in Europe or something. It's Hong Kong. I had no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have guessed like Abu Dhabi Monaco or someplace like that, you know?
Yeah, I did too. And it was
Hong Kong's the most expensive place to live.
Yeah, it had something to do with the fact that they're kind of locked in terms of there's no place to do anything new. Mm-hmm. So everything's going up, right? Yeah. It's all those high skyscrapers. And those things often have two or three people stacked in one room as three separate spaces. I wish I knew where I got that. It was wild. Absolutely wild how expensive
Dubai.
It was.
Yeah, Dubai. I'm sorry. That's what I meant by Abu Dhabi as Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai is probably pretty expensive. Yeah. Dubai, Abu Dhabi is opulent, but it kind of sucks, says Sunburn. Why is that?
Wow.
I wonder why that is.
It's beautiful when my Apple TV is flying over it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Dubai.
Yeah. The bird's eye view is very nice of Dubai.
Yeah.
Watching one of the Fast and Furious guys drive a car up through some building was cool. And then watching Tom Cruise jump off
Tom
one.
Tom Cruise suction cup.
Yeah. That was fun.
Way up the side. Yeah. That was fun. That looked like a nice place to live, except for the giant sandstorm that wipes everything out every few hours or something like that.
Something like that. Sure. They get
hunker
full
down for on that thing.
You get full Fury Road Storm there. Oop, I said it again. There it is, folks. On air. No, there it is. Mad Max. 0 days since we last mentioned it.
There we go. Yeah. Right on air, Max.
Anyway, I thought that'd be fun to mention. Here's a quick thing.
Yeah,
we got a request, a text from a listener, TYVM. He's been around for a while.
No, that's thank you very much.
Oh. That's weird. I rewrote it so that I would say it right and not screw it up and try to pronounce it, because he sent it lowercase TYVM as one word. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what he meant? Was just thank you very much?
Yeah, thank you very much is the usual abbreviation for TYVM.
All right. So whoever this is, I don't know your real name.
We're going to call you Tivum. Sorry, Tivum.
Hey, Tivum, here's your deal. He said this: can you please make a bumper audio clip of Brian's AI Tina voice saying, thank you, Brian, but the princess is in another castle. Good news.
Thank you, Brian, but the princess is in another castle.
I did it. I made it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't know what that means or why he asked for that. I mean, do you want to... I don't know. I don't. Why would you say, I'm sorry, Brian, but the... Wait, how'd it go? Hold on.
Thank you, Brian, but the princess is in another castle.
I understand the reference.
Is that the actual phrase? Is it thank you, Mario, but the princess is another castle? Or is it...
princess.
I thought there was more to that, no?
No, yeah. I think you're right. In another... I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's find the
thank
quote.
Thank you, Mario, but our princess is another castle. For some reason, I might have been saying that thing wrong.
I always thought she said sorry, but...
Yeah, I thought so too. Okay, yeah.
But I think I may be wrong. It is thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mario, but our princess... There's a screenshot of the page right there.
Yep. Oh, but our princess is in another castle. Boy, I say it wrong every time.
Our princess is another castle.
Yeah. This is one I have.
She's not my princess. I didn't vote for her.
There's a great meme where Princess Peach is leaning on the shoulder of the other princess. What's her name? The redhead from Daisy. Donkey Kong. Daisy. He's leaning on her, giggling, going, he's not even in the right castle. I like that meme.
That's awesome.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Well, anyway,
it's another reminder that I need to watch that. It's been on streaming on Peacock streaming for like a month and a half, and I still haven't watched the Super Mario movie.
I haven't either. I meant to. I want to.
Yeah. I want to as well.
I think we even have, you and I have like 4K versions sent by a friend or something. By a secret.
Yes, we do.
Complex
yes.
friend, you know?
We do. We absolutely. A rip.
Yep. We'll call him Rip Torn.
We'll call him Rip.
He sends us cool things. Thank you, Rip Torn.
Who was a better Rip? Rip Torn or Rip Taylor?
Oh, shit. Probably Rip Torn, because the Torn.
Yeah, but, you know, Rip Torn had some issues.
Oh, he definitely had issues. Yeah. Like, as far as...
Rip Taylor was just always, like, gong show, throwing confetti, running around with his cheesy mustache.
Yeah, that's true. And if your thing is, like, who is the better human, maybe Rip Taylor. Rip Torn, no, that's just a badass name. Rip Torn. Like
Rip Torn. It is a badass name. It's name. I like it when the first name relates to the last name, except in the case of Dick Trickle. One is a bad example of.
And his real name was Elmore Rural Torn Jr. So Torn is his real last name. The Rip was
What was the rest of the name?
Elmore Rural, R-U-A-L, or Rual? Rural? I don't know how you say that.
So Rip Taylor's real name was Charles Elmer Taylor Jr. Mm. So I wonder if Rip, was Rip a somehow a shortening of Elmer or Elmore?
Oh, maybe.
Is that a...
I don't know. Let's see. Rip... He was this is funny, dude. So Rip Taylor was born in 31 in Temple, Texas. He's the son of Elmore Tiger Torn. His dad's name was Tiger.
Wow.
Thelma Mary Torn was the mom, but she didn't have a middle name or a middle a cool nickname. I can't find origin of Rip, but that would be funny. Kind of like how Jack and John are somehow the same.
Yeah, right. Do you? And on their gravestones, do you put Rip Taylor?
Right. Rip. Rest in peace, Torn.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Anyway, let's move on. We have news.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah. There's news.
We got to spread the news far and wide. Let's do it.
Stan.
That's the wrong thing.
I don't watch the news.
Yeah, you don't. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. We talked about this show months ago, it feels like, certainly weeks ago. Finally, it's available for listening. It's probably going to be one of our most controversial episodes of Soundography yet. It's all about the band Kiss. Why does Brian hate Kiss so damn much? Find out by listening to Soundography.com. And I don't really hate Kiss that much.
Well, that was my question. Is this an admission of hatred of Kiss, or do you not really hate Kiss? I guess
I don't really hate Kiss, but I hate aspects of Kiss. I like the you know, their groundbreaking, you know, you cannot argue with their ability to promote and market themselves. And yeah, some of their music is really good and catchy and awesome. But when you start listening to the rest of it, the songs that didn't get on the radio,
it's pretty bad.
Bad.
We got team Gibbet in effect here. I completely agree with this.
Okay. Take. All right, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I've been to the town and back with Kiss. I've been to concerts. I've bought a bunch of their shit. I had their dolls for a while. I love that weird TV show.
I still have their damn dolls. I have them over there in the other room right there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to introduce them to the Spice Girls. Not a chance.
No. You love them, Spice Girls. You don't want to introduce. You don't want Gene Simmons in the same room.
Well, I don't want my Kiss dolls to take them out of the box and have their way with them is my problem. I feel like after listening to all the Kiss music, I know exactly... You know, it's all about getting into the box, the Kiss songs.
And, oh, yeah.
I want to keep those Spice Girls mint in box, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know
I guess
exactly.
That's really just what I mean, mint in box.
Yeah, mint in box is exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Don't let Gene...
it's a good way to get a yeast infection.
Yeah. Gene should not be near anyone. That's my take.
Yeah, yeah.
Take him out of the picture.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Keep him far away.
Yeah. Paul Stanley, you know, he seems all right, but Gene Simmons, F that. I'm glad
Peter
he quit.
Chris.
Yeah, Peter Criss. What's his deal? And that the spaceman. Oh, man. When Gene Simmons was a third grade teacher, which is always the big trivia you hear about him, mm-hmm. I always think, well, aren't we all glad that he didn't hang around and keep doing that? I'm glad.
I don't know. Because maybe that, you know, that kept him in check for a while. Like kept him.
Maybe.
It wasn't until he left that and decided to become a rock star that he, you know, he went off the deep end. He may not have had that in him until he became a rocker.
It'd be fun to talk to someone who was a student in his third grade class.
Yeah.
That's
I'd like
around.
To talk to someone who was a student of Sting.
Oh, Sting taught? I didn't know that.
Sting was a teacher. Yeah.
What was it? What was his?
Gordon Sumner.
His teaching. What did Mr. Sumner teach? Do we know?
Let's see. That's a good question.
I love this. I love it when teachers are like, oh, I'm going to help the next generation of people be educated. Oh, I got to be a rock star.
Elementary English from 1974 to 1976.
Wow. All right.
Tantric algebra.
Oh, geez. Tantric algebra.
Here's a theorem that'll last 3 hours.
Do you think,
the whole don't stand so close to me feels like it's like there's a little bit of, it's not just about Lolita, but it's about, you know, maybe personal experience or something.
When did he found the police or co-found it? Do you know when that happened?
Mid-70s. So probably while he was.
So a little crossover there and things took off,
yeah,
or whatever.
I would believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. Well, let's get to this story. We got a Canadian in the news.
Canada!
A Canadian man ate 135 Carolina Reapers, you know, the peppers, the hot peppers.
Yeah.
In one sitting. Let's see what they define as one sitting.
In one shitting is what that would be for me.
And he got rid of him in one shitting.
Just right through me. Thank you. Yep. Yes.
One sitting, one shitting.
Burn out.
Canadian man ate 50 of the world's hottest chili peppers in a record-breaking 6 minutes and 49.2 seconds. I'd call that a sitting. That's pretty short. And then went on to eat 85 more, so 135 total.
Wow.
Vegan speed eater. He's a vegan speed eater.
Mmm.
Speed eater, I like to say.
Vegan speed eater.
Vegan speed eater. Mike Jack is his name. That's cool. So, forget about Rip Torn. That's cool.
Yeah, Mike Jack. It's like he's like a something to help fix your car and broadcast at the same time.
Yeah, yes. I love it. Mike Jack took on the Guinness World Book Record or Book of World Records for the fastest time to eat 50 Carolina Reapers, which averaged 1.64 million Scoville units per pepper.
Ooh.
Yeah, not total. That's per pepper. That's hundreds of times hotter than jalapeno peppers. Mm-hmm. Jalapeno.
Well, I don't think they stack. I think once you eat the first one, really your mouth is just on fire and you just kind of keep eating, right? It's not like, my third one increased the heat, you know, by three, and the fourth one increased the heat by four. I figure it's like, you know, once you eat that first one and your mouth is flaming, it's really just a time issue. It's just getting the rest of it down.
Because your capacity is maxed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Your ability to feel whatever that is, the pain or whatever, is already at whatever its maximum is. So it doesn't matter.
And the trick, by the way, with those, like if you're eating hot wings and stuff like that, try not to let it touch your lips. Like open your mouth, like get the hot wing meat with your teeth and keep it away from your lips, because your lips are going to feel the sensitivity a lot more than the inside of your mouth. You can, you know.
Sure.
You can get by with that. But if it gets on your lips, that's where it's pain, man.
Have you ever done one of these contest things?
I have not, but I've borne witness to both my crazy neighbor and my son doing the Quaker Steak and Lube hot pepper or hot wing challenge.
That's a famous one.
And getting the t-shirt and getting their picture on the wall of flame.
So same day, they did it at the same time?
After Crazy Neighbor did it, Tristan said, I could do that. And he did it the following weekend. I was happy because it meant I could go to Quaker Steak and Lube a couple times in a row. And that place used to be really good. We used to have them in Denver. No more.
No, they're not there anymore?
No.
They used to be on Man versus Food all the time.
I'm sure they were. Yeah, that place, I don't know. I don't know how it didn't survive, because it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd always heard good things. We never got one here, but. Always heard they were good. So this guy, he finished his 50th pepper. Oh, I was going to say, I've never done one of these either, but my wife did that one in that place, and they had a wall, and they had it separated by gender. So the wall was like, here are all the women who have accomplished it, here are all the men who have accomplished it. Or no, it was one, no, that's not what it was. It became kind of about gender because of what Kim did. But basically it was one wall, and it was like a wall of flame kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there was another, that's what it was. There was another wall that was all the failures. People who got halfway or couldn't finish or whatever. And it's a lot
that's
of...
the wall of shame kind of thing. Yeah. That's horrible. Like to make fun of people who couldn't do it. Oh.
I agree. It seemed a little egregious.
Yeah.
And they all looked like they were crying, even though they're not. It just looked like that when you get hot.
Yeah, the tears streaming down their face. Yeah.
But it was this badge of honor for a while, because while that place existed, I don't think they're around anymore, Kim was the only woman on their wall to ever do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only one. But she was weird, man.
Good for her.
We took her out that day. She did it on a dare from one of Taylor's friends. This is the kind of side momming she used to do. And she got into this mode. I've never seen her like this since or before, where she went tunnel vision.
With focus. Yeah.
Didn't talk to anybody. Didn't say a word. Just went and ate, ate, ate. Didn't say anything. When she was done.
Was there a time limit, I'm guessing?
There was. And she got the time limit. And then when she was done, she sat back and they gave her the milk and the stuff and she drank some of that. But she wasn't going, or talking or any of that. She just like this stoic thing. And the whole way in the car on the way home, same thing. Stoic face. Didn't make a thing. And I asked her about it later. I'm like, why were you doing all that? She says it's the only way I could do it. I had to compartmentalize the entire experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like some kind of Zen thing where she had to be outside of the box and watch it happen sort of thing. I can't do that shit. Are you kidding me?
Really? Because I'm starting to get an idea for TMS Vegas 2024.
Oh, no. The worst part about this show is everything we talk about has the potential of ending up on the streets
of Vegas. Exactly. It's like Florida man does something incredibly horrible and dangerous. You know, we could do that for TMS Vegas.
Oh, man. We'll have to see. I just found out that's Carter. I didn't find out. I knew this, but it didn't strike me until yesterday that it's Carter's birthday that week. Day.
Oh, the
May 1st,
May
I think. 1st? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to try to beg her to come and then everybody can give her a hard time while she's down there.
Oh, for sure. I've been trying to get Tristan to come to those too. So.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It'd
then
be
you
fun
could
to
have,
get our, pro- could co- our progeny.
Yeah, and they could score something, Brian. They could stand on each side of something with scorecards and do the whole...
Tristan hated that.
Did he?
He hated that so much.
Carter didn't like it either. Neither of them liked it, but I think we could make them do it, you know?
Oh, Carter has a question in the chat room. Dad, what's my birthday?
Oh, shit. Is it the... I thought it was the... Carter, if that's your birthday weekend...
You got three choices, I'll tell you that. You've got a 33% chance of getting it right, knowing the dates that we've got our event.
Well, it's clearly not May 1st or else.
Clearly not May 1st. So really now you got a 50-50 shot of getting it on the second guess.
How many days are there in April that month?
Well, I'm not going to tell you because that'll help you too much.
All right. Her birthday is April 29th. Chat or Carter?
Is it Carter?
Yeah, we have to wait.
Oh, I love this.
Let's see.
Pressure.
Worst dad ever. Thanks, Claire. Come on, Carter. Where is it? What is it? Confirmation. I'm waiting for it. She says, wow.
She said, wow.
Well, I don't know what that means.
She said, wow.
It's not. Is it the 20? It's the 28th? 30th? I don't remember this shit.
Oh, man.
Kim reminds me as we get closer, and then I do stuff. That's how it works. That's terrible, I know. It's in my calendar. It's like phone numbers. I don't know Kim's phone number. I don't know her, my wife's number. It's just in my phone, so I never know her number. I just know that I have it.
Yeah, Tristan was ready to give me some shit. We were in, when we were in Vegas at that magician's study. By the way, again, could not recommend that thing more. Even if you're just kind of like, I kind of like magic. Even if it's like, I kind of like it. Go get some tickets and go see this thing. You've got to get on their mailing list to get tickets and then request them. And it's like a whole thing, but it is 100% worth it. I say that because I'm not the one who actually procured our tickets, but 100% worth all the effort that somebody else went through so that I could attend.
Sure.
But when I got called up on stage to have a knife thrown at me, the magician was talking to me and said, oh, is that, do you know the person you're sitting next to him? I was like, yeah, he's my boy. He's like, oh, that's cool. How long have you two been together? I said, his whole life. He's my son. He's like, oh, okay.
My
boy. So we've been together 26 years. And I kind of look at Tristan like, it's 26, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You got to you have to be sure. See, I always remember that. I remember her year, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't remember dates. That's Kim's job to do that. Well, anyway, it'll be fun if she goes. Yeah. I hope she'll go. There's no reason for her not to go, except our dogs, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is nice having her around.
You can find somebody to watch the dogs.
Yeah, we did that in...
You take Taylor's dogs all the time, Taylor's dog all the time. Why can't they ever take your dogs?
Well, she hasn't had a dog in...
Really?
Yeah,
I thought they had a dog.
No, they found a friend who took Izzy when the baby, when Van was born in 2019.
Oh, because Izzy wasn't dealing well with the baby, right?
Yeah. So no, they haven't had him for like 4 years now, or 3 years, 3.5 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you're still not wrong. You know,
right? Exactly.
Because we still did do it a lot. You're right.
Yeah, but now they've got a new baby excuse. Like now that Van's four, it's like they could say, "All right, well, yeah, you guys could take the dog now."
Yeah.
But nope. Now that they have a new baby, the baby defense re-enabled.
Yep.
Reactivated.
Yep. Turn that switch right back on.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this guy's okay. He lived. Good. He lived. He said the initial.
I'm not suggesting, by the way, that we eat Carolina Reaper peppers. I'm just saying maybe during our live show, TMS Vegas live show, maybe we have a hot wing challenge or something.
We could try something. It may wreck us.
We'll see. There's a lot of time between now and then for us to come up with something better.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we do. Give me enough gummies, I could probably eat your wings. We'll see how it goes. by the way, said the second pepper didn't seem so bad, and with each one it gets hotter and hotter as the peppers touch new places in your mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So first one, crazy.
It's funny because that's kind of the opposite of what I was saying. I'm like, okay, but I guess so. Like as it's really just as you're chewing, the capsaicin works its way into other places in your face and starts burning.
That sounds awful, doesn't it? The way you described it. Just squeezing little capsaicin particles in your
like right there into every pore and everything like that. Oh, TV's Travis says he'll do a Hot Ones challenge for us.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Actually, I'll talk to you again post-show in our meeting today. I'll put in the notes. But I had an idea based on something that Travis said yesterday.
Oh, really?
He and I were talking in Discord and came up with an idea. And I'm like, oh, this might make a thing for TMS Vegas. So.
Okay. All right. The ideas are flowing, baby.
Yeah.
A woman in Disney went to Disney and had a real problem. So she's now suing them over what she called, or what the news is calling, a painful wedgie. After riding a water slide. Now,
ooh, yeah,
this is way worse.
I mean, there's only one there. No, I guess there are two there. All right.
It's way worse than a painful wedgie, but we'll get to that. I don't know why they keep headlining it as a painful wedgie, and that's all it was, because that sounds like a frivolous lawsuit. Oh, I had a wedgie. I want to sue you. It's way worse than that. But anyway, the most magical place on earth was anything but for a woman in Florida, according to a lawsuit filed Wednesday. Anything but. Oh, I see what they did.
I don't even think they did that. I think... Because they would have put B-U-T-T, I think. I think that one slipped by.
Either that or the writer was like, I bet I can get this in if I'm real careful.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Disney World has yet to use that slogan on its resort gates when Emma McGuinness visited the Typhoon Lagoon Park in 2019. But the tagline, "Where Dreams Come True," proved just as questionable when McGuinness's suit claims she suffered severe injuries on the Humunga Cowabunga slide.
It's right there in the name.
Yep.
The Humunga Cowabunga.
I agree. You ever been on that?
No, I've never been to Typhoon Lagoon. That's the one that's down in Florida. That's one of their bazillion Disney World parks. And
so it's like California Adventure in California, but it's like a little add-on, right? Like an add-on park or whatever, like connected.
It's just specifically a water park.
Got it.
Not as opposed to, like, it's basically... you know, them absorbing a Wet n Wild and turning it into a Disney thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. McGuinness says she was celebrating her 30th birthday with a ride on the aquatic attraction, a 5-story drop into a pool. When she became airborne, she was slammed down downward against the slide, according to the complaint. She said there was so much force of water that her clothing was forced between her legs in a, quote, painful wedgie, unquote, and that water was violently forced inside of her.
Oh my God!
Into Jeez. Her and into tunnel one and tunnel two. I regret saying. It. I regret saying.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah,
I don't want to say any of that ever again. The pain continued after landing in the pool, and as she stood up, blood became rushing from between her legs. She was hospitalized for permanent bodily injury and vaginal lacerations. It added, the complaint further stated that her bowel protruded through her abdominal wall in a hernia. See what I mean about
really
being...
Really good idea.
There's a lot...
A really good idea for TMS Vegas.
Oh, shit. No more ideas for Vegas. The intake valve must be turned off right now for any more Vegas ideas.
We're going to find the Al My Bunga slide in Vegas. And
Al My Bunga. Oh, I shouldn't laugh.
It's horrible. She's okay now. She's okay now.
But, I think so. Wow. I mean, they say permanent bodily injury. I don't know what that means, but the she's looking for $50,000 in damages. After hearing the description of everything that went down, I no longer, it shouldn't just be called a painful wedgie. Hello. That's way underselling this.
It's such a, understatement for a headline for the Huffington Post, which, man, I mean,
And there's a whole thing that,
that ride treated her like a prison bitch is what the headline should be, basically.
It did indeed, and had no remorse when it was done.
Yeah.
Because of their particular anatomy, the risk of injury for a woman, says her lawyer, is far greater than it is for a man, which is stated in the complaint. They're seeking $50,000. I actually think this is maybe a fair lawsuit.
Yeah, for sure.
This is what your ride does to somebody, whatever the mitigating circumstances are.
Yeah, exactly.
And $50,000 is not a
permanent
lot.
Permanent bodily injury, you know.
Again, yeah, it's and like, $50,000 is nothing. That's nothing.
Reconstruction or something.
Yeah, whatever. And here in America, $50,000 for whatever.
Power washed off her body, basically.
Exactly. If you're going to skin a woman alive, $50,000 is not a lot of money. In Disney, you have plenty. Yeah. So help that lady out. Good
exactly.
Lord.
Exactly. Jeez.
One final story here. Auto technicians in the news. That's a fun thing to say.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be my own auto technician today or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow, and replace my front brakes and rotors on the Kia Soul of Love.
So not just pads, but brakes themselves.
Well, the brake pads and rotors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What is the rotor? I don't even know what that is. What is the
rotor? That's the disc that the brake grabs onto in your car.
That you put the pad on.
That you put the pad on, exactly. Gotcha. So that's the thing that rotates around with the wheel and the... Well, no, you put the pads on the brakes, on the inside of the brakes, the calipers.
Right.
But there's this disc that sits between the pads. The pads come together, grab the disc, the rotor.
Right.
And...
you ever done these before? First time?
Nope. Yep, first time.
Psh, you'll just...
I've done brake pads before. I've never done a rotor, but I totally watched a YouTube video, so I totally can do it myself.
Yeah, I've played Auto Mechanic Simulator 2018. I know what's up. I know how to do a rotor.
It's really, I mean, you know, if you could replace, the pads apparently are the more difficult part of it. I looked, it's like, it is really just unscrew these things, put the new rotor on, screw it back in. You might need an impact screwdriver, but that's about it.
These are good man points, though, that you get for this. You get good man points.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So the only man points I get for car stuff is I've done oil changes. I've done oil filter change, obviously.
You've done the oil change where you get into the car and drip out all the oil into a pan?
Yeah, I did that a bunch of times with my dad.
I've never done that. See, that's cool.
It's actually pretty
fun. $29.99 at the Jiffy Lube is a fine price to pay to have somebody else do that.
Totally. This was my dad going, I'm cheap, so get under there, boy. That was that.
Yeah. But $600 to replace brakes and rotors. That's it. That is a lot. And I'll be done in 45 minutes or an hour maybe.
And you're going to spend $60 or something on hardware?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If that, the new rotors cost $120 for the pair. Brake pads, I have a lifetime warranty on the set I got. So those basically I've already paid for and I just get new ones anytime I need them.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you got that. This is going to be a breeze for you.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Speaking of other auto technicians, they found an 8-foot boa constrictor inside a Ford Focus, of all things.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's kind of a small car for a big boa constrictor. A technician at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, a car dealership, got the surprise of his life when he opened the hood of a Ford Focus and found an 8-foot serpent inside. That serpent said, "Eat the apple, Eve." No, not really. Beach automotive technician Tony Galli, something like that, was getting ready to work on the car in a non-snake related issue. It says here that was an actual quote from the local news. I think this article writer wanted to make sure he wasn't accused of a cheesy line.
Right, exactly. That's not my joke. That's somebody else's. But he's also saying that it was a fix that was not necessitated by whatever this boa constrictor was on, in, or around.
Right.
Right? Like it's,
non-snake related.
That's right.
This is my favorite part, and this is why I love the U.S. South, because this stuff can still happen. how they dealt with it was they got a local snake wrangler named Russell Cavender, known as the Snake Chaser. He was called in to remove this massive albino boa. Well, that must have been shocking. Big white snake in there.
No kidding.
Then you, if you see a white snake in your car, you're obligated to shut the hood, get on the hood, and then sing a white snake song.
That's correct. Yes, or just phone Tani Katane, who will do it for you.
She'll totally do it for you.
Wasn't she? It's like $30 on a cameo to get her to do it.
So if she was in that video, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Was she also? She's also on the cover of the Rat album. I thought was awesome.
Oh sure. Okay.
Yep. Same girl. She was just. Her whole life was, let me hang around hair bands, right?
Kind of, yeah. Or be in the movie Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks, be, you know, Tom Hanks' love interest.
Yeah.
Wife-to-be in Bachelor Party.
Yeah. R.I.P., I guess. She died last year or something.
Oh, 2021. Yeah, sure enough.
Or a couple years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he says, I have found many things under hoods of cars, possums, squirrels, rats, even some snakes, but never an 8-foot albino boa constrictor. It's a pretty interesting morning. Said the guy. Mm. Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Also, I think boa constrictors are cool, and I think albino snakes are also cool. Actually, I think albino everything is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
I was not raised to think albino was something, like if a person was an albino person and other kids would tease him, I would go, why are we doing that? This is like having an alien.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I want to defend them. They're like so unique. Why would you want to ruin that?
Yeah.
You know, because you're never going to meet another one. I don't think I have. I knew a kid in junior high who was albino. Never known anyone since. Why would you want to blow that?
I've never, to my knowledge, never known someone, an albino. Calling them an albino, that just feels like.
It does seem weird. It's like saying ginger.
Yeah.
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 I don't like it. We should have a better way of saying it.
But you know, a person of albino.
Albino descent.
Exactly. A person with, what's the phrasing? How do you
know
phrase
what? I'll just call him a person whiter than me somehow. How about that?
There we go. Exactly.
Somehow
they're
whiter.
By the way, did you know Tani Katane was with O.J. Simpson for a year while he was married to Nicole Brown Simpson?
No, I did not.
I'd forgotten if that came up, and I'm sure it did come up in the during all the kerfuffle. That's something I don't remember. During all of the Kato Kaelin talk, apparently, I missed Tani Katane being with OJ.
I had no idea. My only real long-term exposure was that Rat album cover was on my wall, and I thought she was a hottie in it because I was young and stupid. And she was pretty, but, you know, I was just a horny teenager, whatever.
I mean, there's nothing stupid about finding an attractive woman attractive.
No, that's true. But the only other experience was like that Dr. Drew rehab thing. I remember she was on that.
Oh, right. Yes.
And she was a real mess on that. So
she did. Yeah. She went through some rough, rough times. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, it was bad. Mm. Anyway, let's move on to a break. Let's take a break.
Take a break.
When we come back from this song break, we will welcome to the show, one Amy Robinson, a.k.a. Red Fraggle. She's here for Read This, and we're excited to hear what she's brought. Apparently, it's a real, as I've been saying lately, a real humdinger.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Ooh, can't wait.
Ever since Bull Durham, I can't stop saying humdinger. So.
I think Amy also has some things to say about Dr. Drew, by the way.
Oh.
Which I'm curious. I'm curious to hear.
I am very curious to hear.
I don't know anything about... Other than those times I listened to Loveline with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla and Ricky Rocket. Was that a guy's name? Who was the third guy?
They had
a third guy
on for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there the whole time, though. I think it was a brief.
Oh, I thought he was. I thought he was. I thought.
It may have started like that was his show, but Drew and Carolla took over.
Yeah. Ricky Rackman.
That's it. Wasn't he a rock and roll dude, Ricky Rackman?
No, I think he was just he was just there really to answer the phones and be snarky when, you know, Dr. Drew answered people's questions.
Yeah.
And apparently poorly, according to Amy, which we'll find out. Let's get to our Indie in the Middle here.
Yeah, why not?
And he was. He says he was an MTV guy. Oh, Headbangers Ball host. Not a rock, like,
oh,
not
Ricky,
a performer,
that's why,
but just a host.
Yeah. He's the host, and he seemed like a guy that wishes he was in rock and roll, but instead he was a host of a show.
That's
about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd forgotten about that. I just didn't think he'd been like an actual band member or something.
Sure, sure.
Hey, let's go to Chicago, Scott, and a band called La Rosa Noir. These talk about your interesting combinations. We like the surf music, right? We like, you know, Dick Dale and stuff like that. What if we made it dark Dick Dale?
I like dark, the triple D.
Dark Dick Dale.
Yeah, the triple. It's my favorite triple D. Sorry, Fieri. I like this triple D is more fun.
This is a much more fun triple D. But don't worry, we can see your triple D anytime we want just by turning on the Food Network. Yeah. This is a brand new single from La Rosa Noir. It combines dark and dreamy surf tones and heavy heartfelt lyrics. Brand new single is called Red Motorcycle. Just a single. No mention of an upcoming album, but I'm sure it's coming. Here's La Rosa Noir.
I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
The people who use asbestos cement siding report with satisfaction.
I placed the wiener.
And we're back, everybody. Tell me who that was again.
Sure, that's the band Dark Dickdale. No, it's not. That's the band La Rosa Noir and their brand new single, Red Motorcycle.
Nice. So I'm looking up Ricky Rackman just for funsies.
And,
looks like he's doing all right.
I don't think I ever know what the guy looked like. Like, the only Headbangers Ball host, I hate to say it, that I knew was Adam Curry.
Like VJ type?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think I kind of liked Downtown Julie Brown for a while.
Oh, I mean, but she wasn't Headbangers Ball. She was just your...
Oh, did Adam Carolla? I didn't know. Or not Carolla.
Adam Curry was Curry? Was Headbangers Ball, I thought, yeah.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that. I feel like I only ever saw Headbangers Ball toward the end and then some of that MTV, Yo MTV Raps business. I saw some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin Seal from 87 to 88, Adam Curry from 88 to 90, Ricky Rockman from 90 to 95, Vanessa Warwick in Europe Only, Jamie Jasta, Jose Meng, none of these names are doing anything for me.
No, they're not really working.
No.
Oh, okay. So here's the timeline. August 93 to January 96, Rackman co-hosted the radio advice program Love Line with Dr. Drew Pinsky before being joined by Adam Carolla in 95. So 93 to 95, it was just Rackman and
just
Pinsky.
Just the two of them, and then they brought in Carolla.
Then came in Carolla. Then it says the trio hosted it together until Rackman decided to leave and pursue other ventures in January of 96. And from then on, I think Love Line was just those two chuckleheads. And that's where it became big. It's no shade on Rackman.
They had a huge, long list of hosts of this thing that I never even heard about. Stryker. Don't remember anybody. Stryker. Michael Catherwood, Simone Bien, Amber Rose, Chris Donahue.
Oh, yeah. The more recent stuff. So Carolla was... So 05. When did Pinsky stop? 2016. So the one commonality was mostly Pinsky.
Yeah.
But since then, 2016 is Amber Rose, like you said, Chris Donahue. And then the show existed from 83 to 93. So 10 years prior, it was hosted by a guy named Jim Trenton.
Jim Trenton, huh?
Wow.
The creator of Loveline. Interesting.
No one gives that guy any credit.
No.
It's weird how that works.
Nicknamed the poor man.
Well.
Yeah.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Red Fraggle 3 incoming.
Yeah.
We're waving her in. We're letting her know she can land.
That's right. Flag her in with our glowing batons of flaggage.
Of flaggage.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Well. It must be that time of the month. Welcome to the show, Red Fraggle 3, a.k.a. Remy.
Oh, my.
Remy Robinson.
I don't have that kind of time of the month anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I don't think it's fair that you guys had any of that. I don't think women should. Men don't understand. Every month, women have to have, like, I don't want to give stuff away here, but my daughters, my wife, whatever, you'd see them being like pain and stuff every month. And I'm over here going, woo, I'm just a man. I don't have to worry about this shit. I don't think that's fair. Doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
And then when you guys have kids, you got to go through so many things with the kid. You got the swollen feet and the weird blood sugar and the strange this and that. And then you got to push a human being out of your body.
See, I don't know, Scott. It is so difficult being a cis white male sometimes, I swear.
Yeah, will someone please feel for us? Because it's hard.
Please, please, come on.
Oh, bless your little pumpkin heart.
It's so hard. Oh, man, that's coming from a Southerner. You're in trouble now.
That's right. Yeah, when you hear bless my heart from...
well, it's good to have you here, Amy. I know it's been a while since we've talked. So you had something to say about Dr. Drew before we got into things?
Oh, my God. Dr. Drew is a misogynistic, victim-blaming prick.
Oh my God.
All right. I have nothing nice to say about this man. So, okay, I'm not gonna spend too much time here. I'm not going to dive too deep on this, I promise. Sure. But... anyway, you guys know, like, in 2011, like, worst year ever for Amy, you know, so my sister was killed. I had reporters, like, beating down my door.
Right.
And, like, and then, again, it happened, you know, at the, you know, when the trial happened, when he was actually arrested and all that stuff. And the Dr. Drew show was one of the people who wanted to interview me.
Yeah.
However, like it conflicted with 2020, and it was a mess. And then they, you know, it was impossible to schedule.
With the 2020, the program, not
the year,
future,
yeah, not correct. The future year.
Yes,
yeah.
2020, the news
magazine
the,
program.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Thank you. So anyway, I was glad that the timing didn't work out because I heard the piece that they did about my sister, mm-hmm. and they were horrible. Like, Dr. Drew's talking about, like, yeah, well, you know, don't fight in front of your kids. And because, like, all the stuff that came out, you know, with my sister's case and everything, a lot of it is very sensational. There's a lot of, like, really raw audio because that's what he did. He would rile her up and he would gaslight her and just verbally abuse her to the point where she would get so frustrated she'd start yelling, and then he would push record. And then, you know, yes. like, it was typical shit, right? And so, and like, so Dr. Drew is talking about, like, oh, don't fight in front of your kids, like, as though it was like the both of them doing this.
Yeah.
And then, like, one of the women on his show, I don't even know what her name was, but she was a co-host of the show, like, they played one of the clips from my sister, like, literally saying, you know, like, get off me, get the F off me, you know, like, cause he's physically holding her down. And you guys know, like, my sister was my height, but like a third of my weight. Okay. Mm. Like, she weighed like 90 pounds soaking wet. Mm. And this dude she was married to was like Scott's size. Right. Mm. So big, big dude and little bitty woman. And she's like screaming for her to, for, you know, for him to get off of her and let her out of the room and all this stuff. And this co-host of Dr. Drew, and I hold him responsible, it's his freaking show. She said, you know, oh my God, listen to her. I want to strangle her myself.
Oh my gosh, dude. Oh, that makes me want to murder somebody.
Like, F you guys. Because I had the, you know, the scheduler's email because we were trying to work out me getting on the show. And I was like, F you guys. Don't ever call me again. I'm glad I didn't go in your show. You guys suck.
Yeah. Like, no,
I was
kidding.
So angry. That I was is like, the most, so
that's horrible.
Horrendous thing you could say. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, look, I have of the firm opinion that anytime someone is a doctor and their main way of making money is doing shit on the air, whether it's TV or radio, I just automatically don't trust it. And I don't know why I feel that way. Right. I just don't.
No, because
well,
I mean,
you
feel like
that
they're,
is the, that
yeah,
is
their
the
goal
appropriate-
is for ratings, for money, whatever. It's not. Their first and foremost goal doesn't feel like it is to help patients.
No, it feels like a complete breakage of the what's the thing? Your oath,
Hippocratic oath.
Privilege, or yeah,
the Hippocratic oath. So it's like him, Dr. Phil, who's not really even a doctor, right?
Dr. Oz,
all these guys don't trust any of that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
None of
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. Just comes up. I hear it and I go, I don't care which way they lean. I don't care who they're rooting for. I don't give any. I don't care. It's just all. I know what you're doing. I see where your money comes from. F right off. That really pisses me off. So thanks for sharing it with us.
Yes. Katrina's Carousel has it right. She says, Dr. Drew needs to go down that water slide from the news story.
That's right. Yes.
That's great. An uncomfortable wedgie. Let's do it. Let's get it going.
Mm-hmm. Bare ass naked too.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to books. We got, I know you have a recommendation. Before we get to it, I want to throw one out that I've barely started, but I just think it's a good one to recommend real quick for anyone who's trying to get a Halloween little bit piece of business on. Somebody recommended to me a book called The Haunted Forest Tour, And it's a fiction book about a, here's the short of it. It's out in the middle of the New Mexico desert. On an occasion, for whatever reason, this all happens in the prologue, a giant 5 mile in diameter forest pops up out of nowhere. And by popping up, I mean literally shooting through the ground, killing people, destroying homes, wrecking this little small town that happened to be in the middle of it, just created this huge forest. And now it's there. Years, years, years later, they figured out it's haunted with all kinds of supernatural creatures. This all sounds kind of dumb, but the way it's written, it's done really well. And they build a Jurassic Park style tour through the thing so that you go through on these very safe little enclosed trams, but you can see absolutely wild mythical creatures everywhere trying to get into the tram, but they've built it in such a way that they can't get in. And then, of course, something goes wrong. That's the whole idea. It's been really fun so far. So if that sounds like a good time, go check it out. It's the Haunted Forest Tour. All right, that's my I should say who wrote it. It's written by Jeff Strand is the name of the author. It's on Kindle Unlimited, so if you have that, it's free. If not, it's like $14 or whatever, and is on Amazon and all that stuff, and has a really good review rating. So anyway, check it out. That's nice. The Haunted Forest Tour. All right.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. Thank you. Yeah, cool. I am like actually trying to keep track of my, that sounds interesting. My TBR list, if you will. I had kind of just a loose nebulous mental one floating around in my brain. And now I'm actually like writing it down and keeping track of my TBR list now.
So. I have been as well. Yeah. I've been ever since your segment started, actually, is about the time I started being more serious about that. And that's how I grabbed this. It was like, I heard somebody mention it. I went, ooh, let me jot that down. And then went and checked and said, oh, it's free for me because I have unlimited. Yes. And I'm completely hooked on it. And it's such a great little Halloween read. So yeah. Cool. Thanks, Amy. Amy, you're partially responsible for it.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because I thought about it and I was like, dang, it's October and now I only get, one a month. So, I feel like I should do a Halloween-y thing, but I'm too excited about this book.
You can always do like your main book and then have a couple little side things like, oh yeah, also check out this and also check out that. I can put all those on quicktms.li. So if you ever decide to do that, just let me know and I'll put them all on there.
Yeah, I thought about that too because there was another book that was actually recommended by Wendy. And I'll go ahead and just mention it here as well and we can put it on. I'll send you the link for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Wendy mentioned it was called You Will Find Your People. And when she mentioned it, I was like, ooh, because, I have always had a hard time with making friends and making like actual close connections, right? Like, because, your friends are the people who like, they don't run away when bad stuff happens to you. They're the people who run toward and say, hey, like, come let me help you, And I haven't really had many of those. And so like I've got my husband and and I love all you guys and so I'm like but it takes time. It takes time to build those connections. So when Wendy mentioned that book, I was like, "Oh, that sounds like and it is a really good book." And if you do audiobooks like I do, it's read by the author and again, you know how I feel about like authors reading their own stuff when it's nonfiction, they're just talking to you. And she very much is just talking to you. And she's very relatable. And there's also some bits in there that are like bonuses for the audiobook listeners that aren't on the regular book. And one of them was called like Letters I Wish I Could Write My Friends. And it was hilarious. Cool. It was like, she was like, I wish I could have like a form letter that's like, dear friend, you're being a giant dick, which just made me laugh. So anyway,
Lane
good.
Moore, by the way, is the author. And,
Lane Moore, yes.
Lane Moore, and I've added it to Quick TMS already. So it's already there.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's my little aside, my side recommendation. So just to kind of further that recommendation from Wendy. So, and thank you, Wendy. So that's
awesome.
I do have you, Claire, but like, I know, but it's different. Like, it takes time. Like I do. And I love you guys. I do. I love you, Claire. And I love all my TMS friends and but it takes time to develop actual like deep connections where it's like the person you can call at 2 a.m. when you're having a panic attack or something like
that. Right? Like, yeah. There's different levels of it, and it takes time to build that stuff. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
You can't do it overnight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on.
Like a lot of people, I kind of missed that boat. Like a lot of people develop those friendships like when they're like in college or their early 20s, and I kind of missed that boat. Mm. You know, I had a you know, long story, but I was in the category of these people aren't actually great for me during that period of time. Well, now here I am, an adult with no friends, you know. So yeah.
Well, a lot of the friends I had then I thought were friends I don't barely talk to. So, you know, it's like when you're in high school, they couldn't be more important to you. These people around you. It's like, oh, these people, what will I do without these people? I can't believe we're graduating. It's never going to be the same. No, we'll never leave each other. Ah, that was a bunch of horseshit. Of course you do. You barely see any of them. You might have occasional Facebook interaction with somebody you went to class with once, but none of those people I thought were so crucial stuck around, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't either to them. So it's just kind of, that's just, life's weird the way that works. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yep. It's time marches on. But so speaking of this week's book, I have had a vast non-zero number of people recommend me this book. Even down to someone at Dragon Con came up to me and handed me like a bookmark, which had a bunch of jokes in it that I didn't get because I hadn't read the book. And now I'm like, oh my God, this is actually really funny having read the book now. So yeah. So with that in mind, here's the clip. I have edited it for time.
Okay.
So if it's from the sample, because I don't want to be spoilery, but you know, I wanted you to kind of get the picture of what's happening in a brief enough time to play it on the segment. So,
all right,
there you go.
Here it is. Enjoy.
The transformation occurred at approximately 2:23 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As far as I could tell, pretty much anyone who was indoors when it happened was instantly killed. If you had any sort of roof over you, you were dead. That included people in cars, airplanes, subways, even tents and cardboard boxes. Hell, probably umbrellas too. Though, I'm not so sure about that one. In Seattle, we didn't have too much snow that night, but it was well below zero, which was unusually cold, even for January. I was outside, and I was wearing boxers, a leather jacket, and a pair of pink Crocs sandals that barely fit me. I was also holding a crying, scratching, squirming, and spitting cat named Princess Donut, the Queen Anne Chunk. She was a tortoiseshell Persian cat worth more than I made in a year. My ex-girlfriend called her Princess Donut for short. I just stuck with Donut.
He has an interesting affectation to his voice.
Yeah, he really does. I know, but I'm hooked in totally because of that voice.
I like it a lot.
Right? So, okay, so picture, if you will, I get this email that forwarded from Scott, from a listener, Ray, right, is who sent us the email. But I've had numbers of people recommend me this book. It was not like Ray was just like the last person who sent it and was like, I finally was like, okay, I hear you guys. I will read this book. And so I had a drive up to Nashville to go visit my son, right? And it's about 4 hours. It's not a terrible drive, but it's long enough to where you need something, you know, you need something nice and long. So I was like, cool, I've got this audiobook. The night before I was set to drive up there, I just had terrible insomnia. I couldn't sleep. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I've got a new audiobook. I'll go ahead and just turn it on. And, you know, then if I sleep through it, I'll just start it over in the morning. No big deal. And then I was not prepared for the Patrick Warburton cadence of this guy. And that's I'm sitting there like trying to sleep and I'm cracking up at this guy who's talking about like, I mean, boxers and a pair of pink Crocs. You know, I mean, like, it's hilarious.
Does he do this the whole book? Is it pretty consistent?
Yes. Yes. He does it the entire book. That is his character's voice. And so the name of the book is Dungeon Crawler Carl, by Matt Dinneman, and is narrated by Jeff Hayes here. It is absolutely it is a popcorn book. If you, you know, it's like there are, you know, there are popcorn movies where it's like, it's not something, it's not the Shawshank Redemption, right? It's not like winning any Best Picture awards or anything like that. This is not, you know, winning a Pulitzer,
right?
But it is just ridiculously entertaining.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Like all it picture, it's giving like a lot of Running Man kind of things, like where it's like
it's a game show, because it's a big reality show game show.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, and it's just fantastic. And you know, so yeah, you could see like he's there in his leather jacket and his boxer shorts, and like that's it's great.
Just
it's
really like highly reviewed.
Something that if it gets adapted into a movie or a series, better as in something animated or better as something live action or better as a video game. Like I get video game vibes from the description.
I would love to see this as a video game. Like if I could play as this guy or I don't want to give it away, but if I could play as either him or one of the other main characters.
I mean, I'm looking at the cover, the goblins on up chasing him down on the cover. I mean, they're straight out of Warcraft. Look at these guys.
They totally are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, so that's the premise of the book is essentially like as you heard, like everyone who was indoors at that particular moment in time was instantly killed. And then this sort of PA style loudspeaker announcement comes on and says, "Hey, everyone who survived that, you've got an hour to get inside a dungeon. But then after that, the dungeon entrances will close forever and never open back up. And then you'll be on your own and you can just fend for yourselves out in the wild where there's, you know, and where you have nothing because we've destroyed everything. Good luck, you know."
Yeah.
And he's there and it's sub-zero temperatures and he's in his boxer shorts and a pair of Crocs because he went outside to go get the cat.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, I don't have a choice. I have to go inside. And so now he's wandering around in this dungeon and it's literally like a dungeon crawl. There are goblins, there are orcs, there are elves, there are all that kind of stuff. And it is so much fun. It's so much fun. This guy, Carl, is apparently he did a stint in the military, like in the Marines, I think. And so he's got some skills and whatnot, but he's not the sharpest tack in the box, but he's so much fun. Luke Sightwalker says, you know, he prefers full cast narration as opposed to a single person. I could have sworn that there were other people in the cast because guy has
really good at
such. Yes, he has such such a what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with a V.
Versatility.
Versatility. Such a nice versatile voice. And and I think they also with post-production, I think they also went in with you know, some after effects to kind of, you know, give his voice some other effects and things. But yeah, I could have sworn that there were other people reading it with him because it's amazing. It's so good. And I'm in my car, right? And I'm driving along and I'm not kidding. There were multiple times where I had to pause it and I'm just like, what is this book? What? Oh my God. Is you know? And I don't want to tell you guys anything because I don't want to spoiler it, but there are times when I was just like, as soon as I realized what was happening based on the narration, I was just like, oh my God, it's that, you know, and I'm just like cracking up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want to give anything away because it's all just laugh out loud hilarious.
Well, here's what is funny. And I didn't do this on, well, you and I did not connect. So they didn't plan this, but this book was in the same list of books that I discovered the forest haunting thing. The same guy was recommending this for the same reasons.
He's like, funny.
It's like, you're looking for some good Halloween recommendations? Here's my list. And he read off like, I don't know, 10 books. And these two are in this list. So we must have been hooking up there somehow in the space in outer space. I don't know what that means. I just made all that up. But that's pretty cool.
Right.
That's pretty cool. And I have that one written down. I didn't even realize this is the one you were bringing. So that's awesome.
Yes. It's I devoured it. Like I said, I happened to have like, you know, two 4-hour long drives right back to back. So I was able to really knock it right out. But I'll tell you, I got to, it's a series, the Dungeon Crawler Carl series. You know, so this is just the first book in the series, and I immediately downloaded the second one. And I'm in the middle of the second one now.
This is also on Kindle Unlimited. If you're like me and you prefer, you know, reading from a page, because I fall asleep in audiobooks for some reason. I don't know why. This one's also free right now. There's a whole bunch of these that are perfect for this time of year that are just like right in that little zone. And I really like Kindle Unlimited. If you haven't used it before, they have so much good stuff in there. It's not always your top seller. You know, New York Times just came out this week from some famous author, you know, like a Stephen King book or something, but tons of great independent writers and small stories, big stories that you just didn't know about before, and great apocalyptic horror stuff. It's just great. So highly recommend that.
And depending on where you live and what the library services are like where you live, a lot of times you can get a lot of ebooks, audiobooks, anything like that for free from the library.
Yep.
You know, there's a service called Canopy, spelled with a K, that a lot of library services like will allow you to, you know, sort of borrow digital media that way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you don't have unlimited and the book you want is too expensive for you to just buy on Kindle, maybe try that as an option, you know, because man, libraries are cool. They're not just the place
it's also not a good place to go and watch free porn on the internet, on the machines there.
Yeah, don't be doing that. I would recommend against that.
Don't do that.
Kim does this though. Every week or so, she goes to the library and grabs books.
Oh, books. Time. Okay, good.
Yeah, not porn. Sorry. Yeah, I should have. I led into that wrong. She gets lots of books, no porn, as far as I'm aware. Anyway, Amy, awesome. This is great. This is a good recommendation. Cool. Go check it out. Dungeon Crawler Carl is what it's called. It's available now. Also up on quicktms.li. And while you're at it, look at some of the other books available this month for that. And let us know your recommendations if you have something, you know, spooky or scary, whatever. Yeah. Let us know. We'd love it.
Yeah, yeah. Bring them on.
Amy, let people know where they can follow you while you're hucking clay all over the place.
Yes. So I was actually going to say I'm going to try and do some kind of pottery stream today. I think I'll probably just be wedging a bunch of clay, but I'm not really sure yet. But yeah, I want to do a stream this afternoon. So that'll be at youtube.com/@redfraggle3. You can also follow me, redfraggle3, on TikTok and Threads and all the other places. I also, real quick, I want to plug Real Steps because it's time to sign up for Real Steps.
Sure.
I do Real Steps every time. So, you know, y'all come on. It's going to be very, very fun. And
in this next round, eh? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I am nice. In this next round.
Amy's a fun one to have in there. So that's and that's straight from Wendy's mouth. Wendy likes having
Wendy's so awesome.
Wendy is pretty great.
So cool.
Yeah. We'll have a great time, and we can't wait to have you back for more reading recommendations. Thanks, Amy. Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
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 I'm removing her from group.
Okay.
All right. So only the listeners will notice this, but I found my first macOS Sonoma bug. Would you like to hear what it is?
Oh, really? Okay.
This happened yesterday, and then I did it again today to test it, and it totally did it again. So now I know not to do it. But you know how you probably have a folder somewhere that just has tons of stuff in it, just like a big unending folder of like art or, you know, whatever, work you're doing, whatever it is, folders upon folders.
I have a freelance folder that's got all my clients and all the stuff I do for them, that kind of thing.
Like a big beefy one with lots of directory stuff,
gigabytes and gigabytes of stuff.
Yeah.
There, yes.
And I know this is a Sonoma thing because I did it all the time prior to Sonoma and it was never an issue. But when I'm streaming and I open my big folder to like find a file I'm looking for or something like that, it will take us down to about 300 kpps.
Oh God.
for OBS to keep pumping out video, it takes it down to a crawl. You guys go silent for a second and freeze. Okay. And all I'm doing is I'm not even searching. I'm just displaying the directory.
Just displaying the folder. Holy
and as soon
cow.
As I exit the folder, no problem. So it's probably, it may even be an OBS bug. I don't know. Something with the way the file handling works, because nothing else slows down. My resources don't go really low or anything. My RAM stays stable. All that stuff's good. It's just this one weird little thing. And that's what we do. We here on the front lines of content creation,
right,
we test these OSs to their maximum so that you don't have to, Apple.
We take the hit for you. We take the brunt. We do it just for you.
Yeah, the bullet, if you will. We take the bullet.
Yes. We take the bullet.
Anyway, don't take bullets. let's get out of here. Quick note. Check the Discord 4 times on this because Tanner, our good pal Tanner Goodman, had an idea. And his idea was to set up and schedule a couple of kind of Halloween-themed movie nights. And they're up there. They're already scheduled and ready to go. They're not mandatory, obviously. If you can't make it, you can't make it. But
they are mandatory. Yeah. You must be there.
You must be there. We're kicking you off the Discord. But they'll be in
I was looking in the Discord for when this is, and I couldn't find it, actually. So I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Let me pull it up real quick, and I'll tell you.
Because I want to know.
Oh, I thought they were already in events. No, maybe he moved something around. They were yesterday. Hold on. Maybe I'm in the wrong thing. I am in the wrong thing. Okay. So if you go to events at the very top, there'll be one pending. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Horror movie events. Marathon, August 27th, 5 p.m.
Oh, gotcha. Actually, one event. Okay, there it is.
5 p.m. Oh, cool. Horror movie marathon, propel you into the spooky weekend. Lots of movies we'll be streaming and so on.
That's awesome.
Everyone's welcome. We're going to do like a stage, and it'll just be a movie up there running. We'll you know, we won't have any commentary that way. We're not annoying people that just want to see the film. But the chat room will be open. Everybody can hang out and have a good time. And I think it's a great idea. So
it's a really good idea. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, for sure.
So check it out. Discord can be found. If you're not already in our Discord, go to frogpants.com/Discord. It'll get you right in. There's no limits, no doors, no keys to open any locks. You just get in. Okay. We make it easy around here. That is going to do it for today's show. Big thanks to our Patreon and patrons on the Patreon for being patrons. We appreciate it very much. Patreon.com/TMS is the primary fuel to which this airplane takes off every day. So please head over there today and support your favorite morning show. All the reasons to are there. That is going to do it for today. Brian, we probably shouldn't leave unless we do a song because I feel like they expect it.
It's kind of a requirement. I'm okay. I'm okay with this requirement. And this one is the day it is was requested for. Yay, I think so. Oh, no, it wasn't. This is from last month, but I never got to it, so I'm doing it now.
Sure.
The Berm, B-I-R-M, we know him, wrote in and said, howdy, Scotch and Bourbon. That's a frequent one for us, Scotch and Bourbon, because it's perfect.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Just want to send my friend Rev across the seas with a fun song. Of course, I forgot to put this in, so it's late. But hey, hopefully he's behind on listening. Could I get a Tiger Blood and have a great one, signed The Berm?
Oh my gosh, Tiger Blood?
Tiger Blood. Do you have your Charlie Sheen clips still in there for some
reason? Well, let's find out. Tiger Blood. Do I have that? Here, let's try it.
Big Master Tiger?
Nope, that ain't it. How about this one?
We're going to have to spank the little tiger cats.
No. Wait. Oh, that's Tony the Tiger.
Nothing is cooler, sexier, and more significant to the world we live in today than a tiger.
Oh, my gosh. So it might be under Sheen. Let's just try that.
Okay. All right.
Because it was Charlie Sheen, right? Was that the thing?
It was Charlie Sheen, yeah.
Rumor has it you killed a man. But
no, I can't find it. I don't think I have. You know what? I think this is in that batch of stuff that I never got.
It could have been
the
ones that got lost.
Because it's old. That was like 2011.
Tiger Blood. All right. Anyway, the song that the Berm wanted to request for Rev is The Boys Are Back in Town by the High Kings. This comes from the album Grace and Glory from 2016, a song covering the Thin Lizzy song, the Irish band Thin Lizzy. Anyway, here are The Boys Are Back in Town by the High Kings.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things.
Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Changed, haven't much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Frogpants.com.
Somebody call Richard Simmons.
Oh,